97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Time to chat with one of our favorites, Brian Fisher. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brian D. Fisher. You can read his stuff on Athlon. And you can also follow him on Twitter, as we mentioned, on Twitter. And he joins us now on the Smart Ring guest line. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
Doing well. Good to be on with you guys again.
Always a pleasure. All right, so normally we start on the college ranks, but today let's talk NFL. John Gruden steps down. The emails leaked out where he said some just horrific things. But does it stop with Gruden, or is the NFL, do they have a problem on their hands with more of these emails starting to see the light of day?
Well, I think the entire saga, obviously, it focused on John Gruden, and that's the big name in this. But I think that the reason why these emails are even being public is obviously the concerning thing if you were, you know, the NFL, because it affects another franchise. You know, this is all the result of that inquiry into the Washington football team, and I think that's really where the focus is going to turn going forward. It's not now that Gruden has been dismissed, and that story can kind of be set aside a little bit over these next couple of weeks. I think everybody's going to, you know, kind of refocus in on that toxic workplace environment that was happening there in Washington, and ultimately that is going to be, I think, what is going to start to make the headlines going forward.
Well, see, that's what I was trying to figure out is, you know, why these emails, when they were in discovery with the Washington football team, why these emails with Gruden and not other emails?
Yeah, and I think if you go back to the actual investigation, the thing about that whole thing was the NFL got a verbal report, you know, initially from the law firm that was kind of looking into the matter. And, you know, a lot of that has been done for legal reasons, obviously. And I think for the most part, though, that they had been sitting on these emails for months now. And so there's been some good reporting into them. And I think there's going to ultimately be, you know, more coming out of this fallout, because it's not just John Gruden. You know, yes, he's the big name that's been caught up in all of this, but we all know that there are other people involved with similar views in the NFL, and I think that's ultimately what is going to be the biggest change coming out of this, is others are going to be, you know, coming out and kind of being exposed for some of their bad comments, and I think that's what a lot of folks around the league are concerned about.
Brian Fisher joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. How nervous would you be if you're Dan Snyder right now?
You know, a lot. You know, I think, you know, there was a moment where, you know, it looked like, you know, Washington, the franchise was certainly coming back towards some prominence after what happened last year, and just kind of the turnaround that they had sparked. But, you know, ultimately, he's been sitting out for a couple months now, and he was poised to return to his team soon, and now that's, I think, back up in the air. And I think that if you're Dan Snyder, that is kind of the concern, is that ultimately what used to be a kind of sweetheart deal in terms of you know, getting off with this investigation, that ultimately might not be the case, as pressure is going to continue to mount, not only in the D.C. area, but I think elsewhere. And you got to keep in mind, too, that this is a franchise, this is an owner that has been pushing these last couple of years to get a new stadium deal done in Washington. There's been some progress made on that front, but I think this might put everything back to square one, because that's ultimately what the franchise really wants, is a new stadium in Washington, to not be playing at FedEx Field. And I think that's definitely in the balance now, that not just between this report, but ultimately what's going to happen you know, going forward after this investigation.
I'll tell you what, though, there are things that make me wonder how untouchable NFL owners are. You know, we saw in the NBA Donald Sterling run out with a conversation, a private conversation that was recorded and then released. And then in the NFL, what started as a sex trafficking investigation that led to the Robert Kraft film that never got released, but obviously the situation that he was caught in didn't lead to anything. The film got thrown out, and everybody kind of got quiet about it. They ended up winning another Super Bowl, and then it was like, oh, well, he's just an owner that has needs. And it was crazy how that all got swept away. I just wonder how untouchable some of these owners are.
Well, it's good to have a couple of billion in the bank and be as powerful as these people are. And let's face it, you know, things like, you know, what's happened with this Washington investigation and how Dan Snyder, you know, essentially is going to kind of set a few months out, you know, from his ownership, and then kind of come back and be welcomed into the fold as was per the original agreement. You know, that is kind of, you know, the fact of life, you know, for some of these owners. And I think for real consequences, like we saw with Donald Sterling, there's going to have to be some league reckoning, not only from the other owners, really in terms of indicting some of their fellow peers, but really from the league office to kind of stand up and say, this is not okay. I don't think Roger Goodell has that same kind of power that Adam Silver did back in the Donald Sterling days. And I think that's kind of what ultimately is kind of at stake here, for the NFL is, are they going to kind of stand up and put their foot in the ground? When ownership crosses the line, so far we have not seen that. And I'm going to be very curious once, Roger Goodell kind of looks at kind of the tail end of his legacy now as commissioner. Will he kind of change his stance and start to kind of put his foot down a little bit harder on some of the owners?
Did we see the Panthers ownership run out? I can't remember.
Yeah, Jerry Richardson. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely, kind of forced the hand. But I think obviously that was kind of a different circumstance because, Jerry Richardson certainly getting up there in age. And I think the family itself kind of wanted to move on from that franchise. But I don't doubt that there was some pressure applied from league circles over what happened. But you go back to that agreement that he had with David Tepper. Part of the reason that that sell went through was he was allowed to keep his statue out front of the stadium. And that was kind of a big deal to Jerry Richardson. I don't think those kind of type of deals are going to happen anytime soon going forward, just based on what we've seen, not only publicly, but from the league office and their standpoint in terms of blessing some of these arrangements.
Brian Fisher joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. If you had an MVP vote in the NFL, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, where are you going with your MVP vote?
Oh, it's going to be a tough one this year. Again, I think it is probably Kyler Murray just because Arizona has kind of come out and been so impressive with this undefeated start. And he's putting up big-time numbers. I mean, let's face it, everybody understands that the Bills, they had a AFC championship type of squad. I think the turnaround story that Josh Allen has had is kind of been well-documented. He's got a lot of people on his side, but Kyler Murray coming out of nowhere a little bit to have just this kind of impact, really on the team and leading the NFC West, potentially winning that. I think that's going to count a long ways for voters, given how deep that division is. I think that might be the kind of the feather in the cap. As good as Buffalo has been, as good as Josh Allen has looked, I think the fact that voters like those kind of stories that kind of come out of nowhere, and I think this might be the case with Kyler Murray. He's obviously dazzling, putting up a ton of points. He's the fantasy quarterback you love to have on your roster, and I think that's going to be true, too, for MVP voters if he keeps this up.
After Lamar Jackson's Monday night performance, I feel like he's kind of potentially – tipping off a run at a repeat?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's ahead of the pace in terms of some of the numbers than he was in his MVP year. And he's kind of doing it by himself. I mean, you look at some of the drops that Hollywood Brown has had. He has not had a truly reliable receiving core. The offensive line has been shuffled in and out. And let's face it, in terms of running backs, it's really just kind of him in the backfield there. And a couple of guys, they've been having to sign off the practice squad. So it's been very impressive. And, again, winning in that division is also helpful. I think, playing the Browns, playing the Steelers, being on national TV as much as Lamar is going to be with a stretch run, I think is going to be helpful. And showing that he can have that next leap as a passer like we saw on Monday night, I think that can make all the world a difference in terms of at the end of the year when it might be close with guys like Josh Allen and others, showing that big improvement. I think that can go a long ways in the minds of other voters.
Can the Chiefs make up ground in the AFC West, or is this the Chargers' division to lose?
It just might be the Chargers' division to lose, because they've already gone in there to Arrowhead. It's a long season. Injuries can happen. But you look at the schedule. I mean, the Chiefs playing that really kind of the first place finisher slate. It's a difficult road, and now you kind of think about you throw in a couple of injuries. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire being out for the next couple of weeks. That's a tough blow. And so when you're going through the game, this is to me looking like a wild card team at best in Kansas City. And let's face it, for the Chargers themselves, they're playing like a team that wants to kind of take this and grab the bull by its horns and go for it and win this division. I think Brandon Staley's done a terrific job. They've got an MVP candidate themselves in Justin Herbert, the way that he has been playing. And I think that is definitely the team to beat so far in the West. But it's going to be an up and down division. I think everybody saw a couple of weeks ago. The Raiders were playing well. They've kind of trailed off. The Broncos were playing well. They trailed off. But those are two teams that are still difficult out that both these squad sides got to play. And so it's going to be a tough sledding, you know, really in both the AFC and NFC West.
It's making the transition into college football. Obviously, we've got two big matchups here in the state of Utah, BYU-Baylor. And we'll start with Utah, Arizona State. I was looking at some stats this morning. Arizona State's defense held Stanford to 13 yards rushing the other weekend. And obviously, they do some fantastic things. But it seems like, Brian, they're the best team in the Pac-12 right now.
I think so, and I think they've evolved to that point. I mean, I really don't even think that they've put together, you know, four complete quarters, at all this season. You know, I think that's kind of been holding them back. Certainly it was in the game against BYU. But, to be honest, you know, Jaden Daniels, this is kind of what we expected out of this ASU squad, and it's going to be a fantastic game. This probably will, let's face it, decide the South. Yeah, it's still got a lot to determine in terms of the rest of the season, but it does feel like this might even be determining in terms of the Pac-12 itself. I think ASU coming along at the right moment, they've gotten veteran leadership to step up when they've needed and starting to round into form. And, you kind of might look back at that BYU loss and being a little galvanizing for the team. And I think it shouldn't go unspoken either, that ASU team in particular, they do kind of have that us against the world mentality. And I think that's going to help them as they get into tough games like this against Utah.
The BYU loss to Boise State obviously hurts BYU in their hopes of New Year's Six and maybe even potentially college football playoff. And now they get to go to Baylor. Has your opinion changed at all at BYU after that game against a Boise State team that's had their struggles this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily a true, opinion-altering loss, just because, we knew this was a team that had been punching above their weight. They've been winning some games ugly here and there, but, just doing what they've done in terms of, playing the opponents in front of them. And I think they're almost playing with house money. I mean, they just lost so much production from last season, playing a much tougher schedule. I don't think anybody even would have expected, it's going to be 5-1 at this point. And having a real chance to kind of go into that Baylor game to make another statement, nationally. So you're not only knocking off another Power 5 opponent, but, really doing it to a team that also has looked, quite improved this season. So, I think the injuries and not really having the consistency on offense has played a part in terms of this role for BYU, but I think they're still well ahead of schedule in terms of 2021 and what they want to do, even though it's been kind of difficult for them taking that loss against Boise State, where really nothing kind of seemed to go right, especially with those turnovers that they were able to toss.
What are you seeing from Baylor that is making them a nationally ranked team right now?
They just look tougher, kind of in the line of scrimmage. And I think they've gotten a lot more improved play along their offensive and defensive lines. Gary Bohannon, I think, obviously is where it kind of all starts, and that's where the attention goes because, this is a quarterback. You saw flashes, out of him the last couple of years, coming in for a couple of plays here and there, a couple of series. You thought, this guy, if he's given the proper development, he could turn into something special, and it's finally clicking. You've got to give credit to Jeff Grimes and that crew. They've installed a new offense, and the Bears have really taken to it. And I think Dave Aranda, really after kind of almost a year zero situation, he's been pushing all the right buttons in 2021, and you kind of wonder what if, if they've been able to overcome that game against Oklahoma State, which might have been determining, in terms of their future and in terms of the Big 12 pecking order. But, this is a Baylor team that is certainly much improved after really a disastrous year. The coaching staff has done a terrific job getting everybody to kind of play on the same page. And Gary Bohannon, I think, really the key to that in terms of operating that offense.
Brian Fisher with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, college football and NFL insider. Does this... How much, Alabama runs the table. They're still probably in the playoffs. But how much fun was it just as a fan of this game to see what Texas A&M did over the weekend?
Oh, it was great. I mean, maybe one of the better days in college football history. When you think about it, just the excitement of the games from start to finish. I mean, if you had told me after that Red River game, so that wouldn't have even been the most interesting or even best game in the state of Texas that day, I would have said you're crazy. You know, I mean, it was just kind of one of those days in college football. And, you know, just a terrific upset, I think, for the Aggies themselves. They've been building for this moment for so many years. I think they had kind of circled this date on the calendar. I think everything they had put into this game, it really kind of came to fruition. I mean, this is a program that had been building those depths, you know, the stacking recruiting class for recruiting class, making sure that they had all the coaching staff was on the same page, and, you know, keeping that continuity on the staff, really building towards this moment. And credit to Jimbo Fisher. I mean, he called a great game. You know, I think there had been some criticism, you know, rightfully so, about, you know, this offense not being quite explosive, you know, kind of holding things back, you know, playing a little bit lower tempo. And, you know, Jimbo kind of changed things up and just called some great plays. And it made all the difference there. We knew the Aggies defense was for real. And they clamped down on that Alabama team. And I think really kind of sent some shockwaves through the sport, because now that one team has done it and now that Jimbo has done it, I think you're going to start to see a lot more confidence building up from others.
Well, you've got some real solid group of five teams that are in the top 25 right now. Cincinnati, that's 5-0. You've got Coastal Carolina at 6-0, SMU at 6-0, San Diego State, Mountain West Conference team checking in at 5-0 at number 24. Obviously, SMU and Cincinnati, one of them is going to suffer a loss because they play each other here in a couple of weeks. But you realistically could have Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, and San Diego State all undefeated in their conference. What do you do with those three teams, those three conferences, and those three potential undefeated teams?
Well, it's obviously a long year, and it's still very difficult to go undefeated in college football nowadays, as we've seen. But I think Cincinnati, if they win out, you know, they've got as good a case as any to make the playoffs. For the others, I think you're talking about you know, cracking that top 12, and you know, they're a team like Coastal. You know, I think having done it already last year, you know, they're going to benefit not only from perception, not only from having, you know, one of the most efficient quarterbacks in college football in Grayson McCall, a fancy offense that everybody enjoys watching, but you know, I think that's also a team that it's going to rack up some solid wins. You know, they've got App State on the schedule. You know, they've got Louisiana down the road possibly. You know, this is a program that I think is certainly gunning for possibly cracking that threshold to where they can get into the New Year Six, even if there's another Group of Five team. And I think that's kind of the ultimate ceiling for a team like Coastal. Everybody else, you know, kind of playing for keeps after that. But this is kind of devolving a little bit in towards of having two really, really good Group of Five teams this year. One might get a shot at the playoff. The other might, you know, kind of sneak into the New Year Six. But it's going to be fascinating to kind of see play out, because I tell you what, as chaotic as this season has become, you know, these two have really put it on paper and on the field that they're pretty good football teams. And I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
Brian Fisher right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Who are your, I mean, off the top of your head, and I hate putting you on the spot like this, but if you could rank your top four teams in college football right now, who would they be?
Well, Georgia and Iowa are kind of, you know, 1-2 and the easy answers, right? But it's kind of after that that you kind of scratch your head. I'm leaning towards Ohio State kind of being even number two ahead of Iowa, just because, they suffered that loss against Oregon, but, you know, the defense has played a lot better since they made the play calling change on that side of the ball. And the offense has always been good. They've always had, you know, skill position talent for days, and it's really starting to click in a way I think we all kind of expected. You know, with C.J. Stroud, with all those terrific wide receivers, with, you know, really everybody kind of involved. And in terms of the overall talent level, I'm not putting it past Ohio State to, you know, make a run at the national title, given everything that we've kind of seen take place in college football. So those would kind of be my 1, 2, 3. I guess I would maybe throw in Oklahoma, although the, you know, just the up in the air nature, I think, at the quarterback position is leading me a little bit of hesitancy. And I think Alabama's right there as well, just because, you know, we know what we're getting out of the Tide, you know, kind of week in, week out. And while they've had these two close calls, you know, first against Florida and now against A&M, I think this is still a very, very good football team when you look at the players on the field and how they're capable of executing under Nick Saban.
Well, the AP poll has Cincinnati at number three. So you do have to ask yourself, how would Cincinnati do against Georgia, Iowa, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, Penn State, some of those big hitter teams? How do you think Cincinnati would fare in some of those big games?
Well, Well, we've kind of seen proof in the pudding with last year's Peach Bowl. We know there's a very good defense, and I think the question in my mind is can they kind of hit that extra gear that they had offensively with Desmond Ridder like they did last year? I think really the second half of last year, a switch kind of got flipped. I think go back to that SMU game, and they were starting to roll. Really starting to click offensively, putting up a lot more points. To complement that great defense, and that's what they're going to need if they're going to play an Iowa, Georgia, someone like that. I think we all know that points are going to be at a premium when you're playing those teams, but if you can get something and really focus in on scoring enough points, I think all those teams are beatable. I mean, as good as Georgia has looked, there's still questions about their offense and how explosive they can be with either quarterback in there, and so I think that to me, this is as wide open a field in college football as I've seen in really the last decade plus.
Brian, we appreciate your time. Great insight as always. Enjoy another weekend of football and look forward to catching up again next week.
All right, sounds good.
Brian Fisher, you read him on Athlon Sports. You hear him right here on the Zone Sports Network. You follow him on Twitter at Brian D. Fisher.
What was it that I can't even remember the Panthers scandal? Had that owner being run out pretty quickly.
I don't remember the details on that either, but I do remember there was, and I always get nervous because I think I know what it might be, but I don't want to like speculate.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And so I don't want to be like, I think it was this, and then find out it's not, and then, but it was, and I think he's right. I think the family was getting to a point where they felt like they were ready to sell the team. That just kind of put it over the top. But I'd forgotten about the whole, because he had build a statue of himself outside the stadium, and he's like, look, I'll sell you this team, but my statue's staying, man. Don't you dare take down that statue. Which you got to be quite an egomaniac if you build yourself a statue.
Yeah, and the statue was egotistical as well, right? It, like, if I remember, I can't remember the specifics of the statue, but it's kind of built to make him look, oh, he's like walking Panthers or something, isn't he?
Oh, hold on. Now I got to find it.
I think he's like walking two Panthers.
How great would that be?
Or has two Panthers on a leash or something. This was from Jerry Richardson. He said, I believe that it is time to turn the franchise over to new ownership. Therefore, I'll put the team up for sale at the conclusion of this NFL season. We will not begin the sale process, nor will we entertain any inquiries until the very last game is played.
Oh, look at this, holding a football with like two Panthers next to him.
That's, there you go. I knew
that's
that
the worst some, thing I've ever
I
seen.
I knew that there were a couple big Panthers involved in it. Richardson.
Oh my goodness, that's so good.
Richardson, who at the age of 81, Scotty, allegedly made verbal comments about women's appearances, inappropriately touched female employees, and made advances to women that included asking whether... Okay, there were some strange things there. Along with the allegations of using a racial slur that led to a settlement with the scout. SI noted comments made by Richardson about black players' appearances and his threats to discipline players who address social issues. So there were... It was a mix of things. None of this seems like it would be anything that we're not going to find from Dan Snyder.
No. I think that Dan Snyder's got to be a little nervous when somebody starts peeling through emails on what they're going to find. Hey, by the way, a little bit of breaking news before we go to break. The Salt Lake County District Attorney Office has filed charges against the man accused of murdering Aaron Lowe. So you have an arrest, and now charges have been officially filed against that individual.
Very nice.
So the...
very, very nice.
The process is moving along in terms of finding justice for the murder of Aaron Lowe.
You can't hardly make any of this better, but I can tell you things could be worse for a family that loses somebody in a murder situation and you don't know who did it.
Correct.
And you can't find a suspect and there isn't an arrest and it goes on and on and on and on and the investigation drags on and you can't bring anybody to justice. That can be worse. I will tell you, it might just be a small blessing in this whole thing, but for the family to be able to know that the person that carried out this heinous act is in custody and has now been charged. And Scotty, my guess is there's going to be a lot of evidence in this. That's my guess. And I think you're probably going to have a conviction.
Yeah. The swiftness in which the arrest was made and the charges leads you to believe that there's a lot of evidence and a lot of confident people that they have found their man. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and The Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes return to Rice-Eccles Stadium for a big Pac-12 showdown against Arizona State. As the Utes hope to keep their dreams of a Pac-12 title alive, listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game. And then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 7, with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Let's start with the good. By the way, all brought to you by Zero Res. Get an A-plus in carpet cleanliness. Patented process leaves your carpets without soap, shampoos, or harsh chemicals, and zero dirt-attracting residue. All you have to do is call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. Here's the good. Our Google Doc is back and working.
That's good news. Glad it's working, because we did paper docs this morning.
Yes.
Which works good, too. Lloyd, paper and pen still works.
Lloyd, you'll like this. So Hans was texting me that we were having issues with the Google Doc. And he goes, don't worry, I've got it all written out by hand. I'm like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. And he's like, well, I just took a pen and wrote stuff down on the paper. I'm like, no, the fact that Google Doc is down, not that.
See, this morning I was thinking I was like Willie Mays Hayes from Major League, and I was like, I've been caught already? Thought I got cut somewhere.
So this is what I texted him, Lloyd. I said, oh, man, well, don't worry. I put the show together on paper today anyways. And he said, that's ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. I said, oh, well, I just wrote out the segments on paper and then filled it in. He said, no, sorry. I meant that the doc isn't working. When he said that, I was like, geez, man. Okay, well, I guess we'll do it the doc way. I don't
know. We'll write it by hand and we'll do it live.
Do it live.
Apparently, Scotty's having a bad day. Okay.
Yeah.
It's been kind of an interesting day for sure.
Well, it's kind
amazing
of
amazing what's working and what's not working.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you're the things that have worked for 7.5 years, all of a sudden you're trying to make a couple adjustments and it's not working. We'll start with the good. So Dwayne Wade's son, Zaire Wade, he's 19 years old, Scotty.
Yeah.
6'3", about 170 pounds. Obviously, growing up around the world of basketball, it looks like he's going to be joining the Utah Jazz G League team. Dwayne Wade's son, Zaire Wade, is going to be on the Utah Jazz G League team at 19 years old. So I don't know a ton about Zaire. I don't know a lot about his overall game. I just thought it's kind of cool, kind of fun to see what a 19-year-old young Wade can come and do with the Utah Jazz G League. I don't know what they expect. I don't know if it's ticket sales. I don't know if they feel like this kid has NBA-level game, but I do think it's a storyline that all of us need to follow.
He just graduated, class of 2021, and essentially is by the way, did you see I'm just looking at his recruiting profile. Did you see where his school was? Brewster Academy. That's the home of Donovan Mitchell.
That is. That is. And I did see Donovan Mitchell sent out a tweet pretty quickly when it was announced that there were rumblings about Zaire signing a contract with the G League.
Got offers from DePaul, Nebraska, Rhode Island, Toledo, and has decided to make the jump right to the G League.
Yeah. Why not, right?
No, of course.
Dad is part owner. You've got built-in development. You know what you how and look, if I'm Dwayne Wade and I'm looking at the development staff that I just bought a piece of, I'm looking around like, yeah, I'd like to have my son in this. Maybe my son can grow inside this. As soon as we can get him in with this development staff, let's get him in with the development staff. Let him see how all this works with the NBA.
Well, that's the thing. You like anybody always says, you just want a chip in a chair.
Yeah.
Get an opportunity and a good opportunity for him for that.
How tall is Dwayne? Is Dwayne 6'5"?
I want to say like 6'4".
Oh, is he 6'4"? I know Zaire's checking in at 6'3" right now. And I was wondering if he's – I was looking at some pictures.
6'4".
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just a little bit smaller than Dad right now. He'll grow. He's just young.
Yeah, 19. All right, hands to Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So, J.R. Smith, as we all know, joined a golf team with North Carolina A&T as he goes back to get his degree, right?
Yes.
So he just had his first actual college golf tournament this weekend. And there is now video surfacing of him hitting a ball kind of into the deep rough. And he's searching through some bushes and trees. And somehow he steps on a yellow jacket hive. And the yellow jackets go crazy.
They don't like that.
No, they go crazy. Start stinging his ankles, start stinging his neck. They get in his hair. Well, now there's video surfacing that there was a medical staff that he had to actually be checked by a medical staff because of how many bites he was getting from these yellow jackets. Have you ever been hit by a yellow jacket?
I've been stung a bunch of times, but I can't recall if it was just a bee or a yellow jacket or a wasp. Or
I know I've been hit maybe 5 or 6 times in my life.
Is a yellow jacket and a wasp the same thing, or is that a different?
I don't know the answer to that. I believe that the yellow jacket is a more painful bite than
well,
most.
Because
there's hornets, too, and I don't.
Oh, yeah, you got that. You get into a nest of wasps. That's no fun at all.
Right.
You want no part of that.
So it ripped him up pretty good. He had rounds of 78 and 83, Scotty, over the weekend in this Phoenix Invitational.
I would give my let's say I give up a lot to be shooting in the high 70s, low 80s.
You bet.
Consistently. At the college golf level, though, I don't know if that's enough to get it done.
It's enough to put him at 80th in the tournament.
Out of 82?
I think 84.
Ooh.
No, I don't know exactly how many are in that field, but it was like, I think he was somewhere in that 80 to 100 range, somewhere in there. Not real good, but he's out there living his best life, getting his degree, enjoying some college golf. He's got that college golf eligibility. And
I mean, here's a guy who made $88 million in his NBA career. If I have $88 million and I don't know how much of it he's got left, you know, you're probably walking away with about 45 of that after taxes. And that's over a long 17-year career. So I hope that he was good with his money and he's doing all right in that regard. But still, at the end of the day, I'm not going back to college if I've got that kind of money in the bank.
Unless I can go enjoy some college years that I didn't get.
And that's probably what J.R. Smith's mm-hmm. doing. And if that's the case, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
And, of course, the ugly.
Saw John Gruden essentially resign / forced to resign, a refirement, if you will, from the Las Vegas Raiders.
Never heard that term. I've never heard of
it. Oh, yeah?
No. Is that something you just coined? Or
No, I've stolen that from a couple of people.
Oh, okay.
I actually got that from somebody who went through a refirement.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you who during the break. You know him. But John Gruden has not only lost his job with the Raiders, but he was part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneer Ring of Honor. They put his name up there. He was the coach there from 02 to 2008. And he has been pulled from the Ring of Honor. They're going up in that stadium, and they're tearing his name down. Remember, he's also lost his endorsement deal with Skechers, the ultimate dad shoe, which, by the way, I'm not hating. Skechers very comfortable. But they want nothing to do with John Gruden anymore.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The Skechers is identified as a dad shoe?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a skater shoe. Like a young, huh?
No. No, kid.
I thought it was
kids
a young
aren't,
skater
kids
shoe.
Aren't wearing Skechers. And if I'm wrong, then I'll own it, but I don't think the kids out there are going out there like, hey, you see these new pair of Skechers I got? That's like you and me, like, putting on a pair. I'm like, all right, let's go mow the lawn. These are comfortable. It's like floating on air.
Am I mistaken on what a Skecher is? Is it not like more of a suede low-cut shoe?
It's a low-cut shoe, but, I mean, they come in all styles.
I think
do they do it?
I'm not thinking. Oh, I'm thinking Vans.
Vans, yeah.
Lloyd, I'm definitely not thinking kids.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Johnny's got his Vans on here, and he's...
Johnny's the kind of guy that would not be caught dead wearing Skechers. I like Skechers. I mean, I go out in public wearing Skechers, but if I'm working around the house, I'm not hating on that.
So he loses his job and any type of gainful employment in the NFL in the future. He's pulled from the Ring of Honor, which I've got to imagine that...
That hurts.
That hurts.
That hurts. I mean, that's legacy stuff there. That's your grandkids go to see that. That's a real big kick in the you-know-what.
That really, really hurts. Something that money can't buy. Something that he believed that he had earned. And he also loses this endorsement. He'll probably lose any other endorsement that he might have had, but... I think the other difficult thing for him is, you know, you're watching. Who was his old wide receiver? Was it Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah, but Keyshawn wasn't an easy guy to get along with anyway. I would take anything Keyshawn says with a grain of salt.
Because Keyshawn has come out and just
he's throwing dirt on the grave because Keyshawn and Gruden never mixed. And was Keyshawn part of that Super Bowl team with the Buccaneers?
I think he was. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I'm about 99.9% sure he was.
Lloyd, how did that Super Bowl go? Do you remember that game at all?
I don't, and obviously nobody else does because everybody's not even a part of the Ring of Honor anymore. It's almost as if it never happened.
Just so you're saying he's not the Ring of Honor, so that Super Bowl never happened?
Exactly.
Okay.
You think that there should be a default winner?
Pretty much.
Go back in time and give Rich Gannon a Super Bowl ring?
Yes.
All right, there you go. Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on the Zone Sports Network. Whole world news straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in former BYU wide receiver Dylan Colley. Do you find Baylor to be a little bit of a mystery?
It's definitely a mystery, and that's only because of their new offensive coordinator. Who's the one that's actually calling the plays? Depending on how many times they fake the jet sweep, you'll have a pretty good idea of who's calling the plays.
So you're saying Grimes likes to fake the jet sweep a lot?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you were able to watch 2018, but I probably faked the jet sweep about 1,500 times.
Well, you got yourself in shape then.
Oh, I was in shape. Sideline to sideline, baby.
Hey, they had to respect your speed.
No question.
What did it say about you? I think it said good things about you.
Let me tell you, it was a tough one. When I did get it, though, it worked out.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Not 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hope you are all having a tremendous day. Hey, remember, you and I are going to be hanging out on Friday at the big Utah Snowmobile Show. Come see the latest in sleds, trailers, and gear Friday and Saturday, October 15th and 16th at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy. It is the Utah Snowmobile Show. And if you want to know what not to do on a snowmobile, Hans will let you know. It's mostly about who you take with you.
Oh, my gosh. That trip. Someday when we got more time and we're not so pressed with so many different sports issues, we'll have to tell that story again. Because that was one of the craziest times of my entire life.
Was there a moment you thought, like, is this how I'm going to go out?
There was a moment that lasted about 8 hours. That I thought, this is how I'm going to go out. We're done.
And the thing is, you go with people that know what they're doing, because if you go with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, and then you got to dig them out, and then it can be a problem.
Well, luckily, we were with two people that knew what they were doing, very experienced, but there were three of us. I had been snowmobiling like 5 times. Dave Gore, I think it was his first time, and then this other guy that we were with, it was his first time, and we got into some extreme snowmobiling stuff. The two guides that we were with, they'd been 1,000 times, and at no point were they in a true panic, but they left us in an area because a snowstorm came in and it got dark and they couldn't see and we couldn't see and we lost the trail and we're up in these backwoods, and they said, everybody just stay here. We got to go find the trail. So the three of us who'd never really been on snowmobiles sat there while these scouts went to go try to find the trail. We're hour and a half, it gets darker, it gets colder, I'm in Nike shoes.
At what point you think, I might have to eat my producer?
You're looking like Gore, like a T-bone steak.
I feel like a European soccer team right now, and I might have to eat you.
Oh, man.
I was 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes away from lighting my snowmobile on fire to stay warm. Because I had lost feeling in my fingers, I'd lost feeling in my toes, and it's pitch black, and I'm thinking, we're going to be staying here tonight.
Was there did fighting start between the three of you? Had it started like a little bit of bickering?
Nope. There was kind of this look of fear in all of our eyes, like, we're going to lose our toes over this. We're going to lose our fingers over this. Like, it was a real fear of, major concern. And then finally, the two scouts came back, and they're like, all right, we found the trail. Well, then we got stuck a bunch of times. They had to hike down, get our snowmobiles unstuck, while we had to hike up the snow in my Nike shoes, about 4 feet of snow. It was horrible. And then Dave Gore drove his snowmobile right off the edge of a cliff. He said that his thumb froze to the accelerator.
Yeah, lesson learned. Don't wear Nike shoes or Keds or whatever while snowmobiling.
Or Skechers or Vans.
Or Skechers.
It was all ahead. Anyway, I don't know if we've got time for what you may miss.
Time. No, we got time.
Okay. Well, so there's a Riverside restaurant in Thiptaporn Juruimantan, which is in Thailand.
Nailed it.
And this area has been flooding for years. And they thought they were going to have to shut down this famous barbecue restaurant.
But in Taiwan?
In Thailand.
Or Thailand?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I don't really think of Thailand and barbecue.
They've got a, it's an open grill Thai barbecue. Like the one we went to where Johnny was cooking all the open grill stuff
for us. That was fun when Johnny was cooking all of our food for us.
It was so fun. And he was fantastic. Well, they thought, Scotty, that the floods were going to end up shutting them down. But what they ended up doing was just embracing the floods, and now people eat in the middle of the flood, and it's kind of part of the mystique of this place.
It's like those places in, whether it's Hawaii or Cancun, where you just kind of like, you're in the swimming pool, but then you go up to the bar and get a drink or...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But these guys are actually in a pretty deep flood, so they're eating while the waves are kind of hitting them, and they're...
I can't imagine that's the best smelling water. That flood water doesn't smell very good.
Well, and if you look at it here, I'm going to pull up a quick video so you can see the dining.
Oh, yeah, that's disgusting.
So they're sitting in mud water, but watch some of these waves that they have to avoid. But, yeah, this is like one of those barbecue grilling places, which is good. You know, I like that. You grill it up and throw it hot off the grill and into your mouth, but this river is coming right into their laps.
Well, there's no 5-second rule there.
Look at this.
Oh, that's trippy.
Yeah, and people pay to go and eat their dinner.
Well, hey, I'm all for a place staying in business, but that looks gross.
They're all eating their dinner.
I want no part of that. Would you do it?
Nope.
Good.
Nope. But
I mean, you and I don't have a lot of standards when it comes to cleanliness and sanitary with food. But
not a ton. And there aren't a lot of limits. Like, oh, no, I wouldn't eat there. I think both you and I would eat there if we were hungry.
Oh, yeah, if we're hungry. But if I had another option, I'm passing on that place.
Well, people have flooded in.
Okay, stop.
Sorry.
Do better.
Just wouldn't be Hanson Scotty without someone.
No, I know. I know. On. But, hey, you know, it's a good restaurant, good ownership. High tide lifts all boats. That'll be great.
Oh, man. Well, you just wait until like, the levee breaks.
You want soda or water? And they're like, I'll take a water. The guy just puts a cup down and then puts it on your...
I don't know, Mikey. I don't know if this is the type of place where you want to drink water. Why is that?
That's such a great pull. I don't know, Mikey.
Why is that? Oh, man.
Oh, all right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It is 12:03. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. 4528 South State Street. Johnny's got the Jazz gear. Come by, grab a shirt, get ready for the season, which begins 1 week from today. Then you can also get yourself ready for what is going to be a lot of fun here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, a forever warranty, which is attached to every new vehicle and about 98% of their used inventory. That means your vehicle is covered for as long as you own it and as many miles you put on it. And that also comes with 0% financing on pretty much all 14 models here as well. Come down, check it out for yourself. It's Tim Daly Nissan in Murray right here on the Zone Sports Network.